Okay, welcome. So we spoke about Azure storage, and that's one way to handle your data in Azure. But it's not the only way. You might want to use a relational database. You might want to use something that uses a database engine. You might want to use the same database engine that you used to use in your previous traditional on-prem application. So for that, you can use SQL Azure. So in the following session, so we will speak about the motivation, we will speak about the architecture, we will speak about how to work with SQL Azure, and then we'll speak a little bit about synchronization. So there are a few strategies that you can work with when you deal with database in the cloud. You can have the application working against the database in the cloud. You can have the application working against the data which is on-prem using Azure Connect. You can have the application working against the database which is in the cloud, but not only the application, but other clients as well can connect to the database on the cloud because, again, SQL Azure is independent of the compute instance, exactly like Azure Storage is independent of the Azure instance. That is why you can connect directly to SQL Azure, which means like on-prem application can use SQL Azure instead of the on-prem SQL server that they're using today. And we will speak about the advantages of doing so. So let us speak about their architecture. The architecture of SQL Azure tries to provide a database which is scalable and available. So I think that looking at the performance and scalability testing of the database itself, we can see that the architecture really accomplish what it tries to do. It is scalable, it is reliable, it is available. When you have your data in a data center, usually you have a chunk of data which is huge. You have a 1 terabyte database, and this is a single point of failure. It does not scale. And you're very worried that this data will be lost. What happens when a disaster happens and the data is lost?
Well, you know, there are mirrorings. I mean, people spend a lot of time and energy and effort worrying about exactly that, isn't it? It's not like they just sit there and roll over dead.
Of course, so you have many solutions for that. First, you can back up your data, and you put
I
it on
what?
A tape. You can back up it. And
Really?
yeah, there's stuff like
Hey,
that.
why didn't I think of that?
And you can put your data on the tape, etc. But still, if the database is dead, until you bring back the tape, the application will not be able to use it. So you're not available. You have few hours of shutdown because the database is dead. And of course, as we said, the database is just a big machine. If all the requests come to this central machine, it does not scale. So you might wait quite a bit of time until your request is being executed on the database engine. So again, it does not scale. The design of SQL Azure database solves that. So as we will see now, you do not work against a single database, and this database you were working with does not have a single instance. So what happens under the cover is that when you have a SQL database, you actually have three databases. You have three replicas of your database on the cloud. And when you're working against the database, you're working against the primary one. And say the primary one will fail, automatically you will be redirected to a secondary one. And the secondary one will be declared as the primary one. Now, the primary one just dies, so you need to have three replicas at all time. This is why another database will be issued, and it will hold your data, and then you'll have, again, three replicas of your data. So, at all times, you have three replicas of your data. So, backup is something that you get automatically. You don't really need a disaster recovery policy. You don't need to backup your data because you have it already from the box. This is one thing. Another thing is high availability. How do I make my database highly available? So, again, if we look at the design of SQL Azure, we can see that the actual database is behind a few layers that we might explore now. If my application wants to contact the database, it contacts a certain URL, a certain URI, I would say, a certain point on the web.
You know, I got a good question here from a user named Jeff, and he's asking, you're talking about these replications, are they always in the same data center? I guess he's worried about an electromagnetic pulse going off over Chicago when there's some of his data in San Antonio or something like that.
Yes, they are in the same data center, but later in the presentation we will speak about SQL Sync. What you can do is create another replica of your database on another data center, and you can order those two replicas of the data of the database to be always in sync, and that is done automatically for you. Under the cover, the Microsoft Sync framework is doing the job. So that means that I will have three replicas of my database in one data center and another three replicas on another data center, and that is how I handle the issue of a bomb destroying a certain data center. So I'm happy with that.
So if you want to have that availability, you can pay for it. And
yeah, I pay for it, of course. Mm-hmm. I pay for it. For the replicas, I do not pay. Mm-hmm. But if I want to have another replica on another data center, mm-hmm. I have to pay for another instance of my database.
No problem.
Now about high availability. As we said, when you are contacting the database, what you're actually doing, you are creating a TDS request, the same TDS that you we love and we know, the same TDS that we know and love from traditional database handling, but this TDS is done against SQL Azure. So we hit a load balancer, and the load balancer gets us to a layer of gateways. So until now, we're doing always TDS and TDS. Okay, those gateways fronts the actual SQL databases, and the SQL databases are SQL 2008 R2, and they will host our instance of the database. Now, our instance of the database is not a physical instance of the database on those servers. Those servers will share different databases together physically, but for us it's like a virtual database, which means it's like virtualization when speaking about virtual machines. So it's the same idea here. You have a SQL physical server which will host many databases together, but for us we will see only our own instance. So those gateways will direct us to the right SQL server that hosts the data for us. This architecture makes sure that all requests are distributed evenly across the network of databases, and thus we get high availability. Now, when we want to have a database, what we should have first is an account. An account is in Azure, This will entitle us to have an account in SQL Azure. And on that account, we will create a server. And using that server, we'll create many databases as we wish. Now, the size of the databases is maximum 50 gigabytes. This is nothing.
You can't even get a high-def movie on a 50 anymore.
50 G, it's nothing. So what's the thought behind of it? Because Microsoft did not think that that's the maximum amount of data that we have in a database. In the database, we should have terabytes of data, right?
A 50 gig on the last memory stick I bought, man. So, it cost me $100.
So something here needs to be explained. And looking at the data that we used to work with, at the traditional design of data that we are working with, we have, as I said before, a single point of failure. We have a giant machine with terabytes of data, and that's our database. This does not scale. And here, on the cloud, we are talking about scalability. Cloud is all about scalability. So it does not make sense that we will put machines of terabytes and terabytes, and we will gain a single point of failures again on the cloud. Now, the cloud is made of racks of machines, of normal machines, and these machines were not made to host your giant database. What we want to do is to spread our database across the data center, and we want to scale out. This will entitle us to store as much data as we want, because thinking about our traditional database, we're still limited on the machine. And we're limited across the strengths of the storage we have. And there are lots of issues here that we had we had to work a lot to solve those. Now it's pretty easy. All we do is we spread our database, our giant database, across many instances of 50G databases across the data center. This is called sharding. And to do that, we have a technology that was announced in the PDC called the SQL Azure Federation. SQL Azure Federation will help us to split our database across multiple servers, across multiple instances, and to scale out. Exactly as we've seen with Azure Storage, the same techniques works here as well.
Now, we had this argument before we started this session at lunchtime. To my way of thinking, you're saying, okay, Microsoft is saying you need to rethink your relational database. You need to go split it up into shards, you know, federate them and such. Even so, 50 gigabytes per instance, and you're going to have two instances. You're going to get five instances. Okay, now you're up to, you're not even at five instances, and you've got 250, you don't even have a quarter of a terabyte. Whereas whether you get a regular SQL storage account, you get 100 terabytes. Clearly, Microsoft is saying, hey, guys, you know, sit here and start thinking about what parts of your data that might have been in relational storage before, but what parts of it should no longer be in relational data now that you have these wonderful, scalable, non-relational pieces to use, you know, because they give you 100 terabytes there, and they give you not even 1/500th of it in relational. Clearly, they're saying it's time to start rethinking.
You know, this is very true, because let's think about the database. Mm-hmm. The database is something that holds data, but behind it there's an engine. Yeah. It's a very strong engine that can do lots of stuff. Now, I want to use that engine as efficient as possible. So I want the database to hold only the data that require that engine to process. Mm-hmm. Now, if I have a picture in the database, okay,
which was fairly common,
back in traditional data handling, well, I don't need the database engine to process that picture, right? Mm-hmm. This is static data. I would like that picture to stay in the blobs. Now, my database would refer to that blob because
exactly.
That blob has a URI. So all I would need to store in my database is the URI of that blob, and the blob holds the actual data. Now, blobs are much cheaper, than SQL Azure.
Absolutely, sure.
So as we said yesterday, we design for price. We design for scale. This is something that you want to think about. Put the data in the database that really needs a database engine behind it. Data that does not need a database engine, well, it can sit in blobs, in tables, in Azure storage, and you'll pay less. Now, if you have lots of data, the data should be spread out, should be scaled out, and then you enjoy and leverage the cloud, and the availability of the cloud, the scalability of the cloud. So, let's say, well, I need a database, so I have an account. Under the account, I create a server, and under the server, I create databases, the exact same databases that I'm used to work with on traditional SQL. Okay. So, as we said, a database is maximum 50G, and the cloud directs us to use many small database instances. Sharding is the technology and the idea of splitting a huge database into multiple small instances to spread the load. Performance-wise, we might see a significant increase of performance because now we're doing things in parallel.
If
I do everything right.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And the future federation technology, which was just announced in the PDC, will help us to do so and will be automated more and more with the time. So, now, okay, we have a database. How do we work with it? How do we do it, the actual stuff that we need to do? So, fortunately, we are working with TDS. TDS is the protocol that we use to connect to a traditional databases. This is what ADO is based upon. So this means that we can continue to use ADO.NET, ODBC, PHP, Entity Framework, any data access technology that we used to work with will continue to work against SQL Azure. So we can take our existing application, and all we need to do is just change the connection string. That's it. Now we are connecting to SQL Azure instead of connecting to our on-prem database. That's it. That's all you need to do. Now, is that the absolute truth? Well, unfortunately not. Because if we look at the list of features that are supported with SQL Azure, and we look at the list of features that are supported with on-prem SQL 2008 R2, we will see a difference. There are stuff that are not supported with SQL Azure. So, if you're doing more than relational database, you're doing advanced data handling, you're using SQL CLR, you're using OLAP, you're doing other stuff, you might want to look that the feature that you're working with are supported with SQL Azure. So, assuming that you're doing relational database only, ASP.NET controls are supported, client libraries that work against the database are supported, because, again, all we're doing is TDS. That's it.
I've got one good question here. Is there a development server for SQL Azure? Do you have to go straight to the production server?
Well, this is a beautiful question. That's a remarkable question, because it's exactly what we show now. Okay? Do you know that, too? Have you seen that? SQL Server 2008 R2. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the tool I'm using against my on-prem applications. That's the tool I'm using against my on-prem databases. I will continue to use the same tool with the same skills, the same knowledge. I will use that same tool against my my Azure database. All I need to do, just here in the login, to write the full name of the database that I will see in the portal, and we will see that in a minute. That's all I need to do. And of course, I need to have TDS open. That's it. So the same tooling works here. Fortunately, the portal provides us other tooling to manage our database on the cloud. So we can use, right now we have the freedom to choose. We can choose SQL Server 2008 R2 Management Studio that we like and love. We can choose that. Or we can choose the portal, which allows us to manage the database straight from the portal, and you do what's good for you. That's it. So, we've just seen the management studio, and this is this is the database manager, which was just released, and it is part of the portal that we can see, the part of the new portal, that was called the Project Houston. Now it's database manager. And using this database manager, which we'll demonstrate later, we can connect to our database and we can manage the database. We can see the tables, we can see the stored procedures, we can see views, we can execute scripts, etc., etc. So we can do lots of things just here on the portal, and we don't really need the management studio that we like and love, but we know and love. But again, you have the freedom to choose whatever tool you would like to use. So, SQL Azure focuses on logical administration, which means what you can do, you do schema creation, you do queries, you do security management. on the back end, all the availability stuff, all the physical stuff, all the stuff that we used to handle on-prem are no longer our business. This is why it is possible to share a single server, a single physical server of SQL 2008 between many logical Azure servers.
It's really nice just to get rid of that. I mean, I know so many guys who just don't want to touch it, who don't feel able to touch it, don't feel they have the knowledge to touch it, to maintain a server box, and they're just really happy about being out of that business.
You know, the active-active and active-passive policies and all those things which were really complicated.
I had to give it up. I really did. You know,
are not transparent for you. So all you have to do is to handle what you know is a database. And a database is schema, is data, is querying, is security management. That's it. This is what about a database is. You don't really care about failovers, about active-passive policies, and active-active policies, etc., etc. This is all transparent for you, which makes life much easier. So maybe you'd consider coming back to the database world, because now it's easy. You don't really need an administrator which I know things that you don't, and it's a black hole, a black box. Database is not a black box anymore. It's just much, much, much more simple. Now, deployment of a SQL Azure database is easy. Is simple, exactly like we've seen with the API, the simple API for Azure Storage. Again, here things are just simple. You can just take a script, create a script on-prem, and just execute it on the cloud. Very simple. you can have affinity groups here. And you will use Affinity Group exactly like we said with Azure Storage to make the database as close as possible to your application. Again, to allow better performance. So it's a simple new form of deployment. It's easy. We'll speak in a minute about the syncing capabilities, which allows us to do even simpler deployment of the database. Now, the security model, now you can connect to SQL Azure databases only using username and password. There is no integrated security because you do not live in a domain. Now future will allow us to domain join our Azure application to the cloud, which means that we will be able to do integrated security with SQL Azure. But now it is not currently available. So all you do is you create a connection using username and password. Then you have logins, you have roles, you have the same regular SQL security model that we love and we used to, and we work with it for years now. So the security model, again, is very, very simple. And it will be even simpler when we will be able to use Azure Connect and to do a domain join in the very near future. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is sync. Well, we have several replicas of the database. We might have a replica on-prem and another replica on the cloud. We might want to use the replica on the cloud as a mediator between different instances of our applications. We might have several applications, on-prem applications, that want to use the same database, and that database is in the cloud. So that's a great mediator. But again, we want to have another replica of the database on-prem. We might want to have several replicas of our database in different data centers, as was asked before. So we might have the same database several times. Who does the sync for us? Who synchronizes the data so we will make sure, positively 100% sure, that the data in all the replicas is the same? Upload, download, conflicts, all that handling. And for that, there's SQL Azure Sync, Data Sync. SQL Azure Data Sync is a new project that allows us, using the portal administration, to define who syncs with whom. We define sync groups. And in those sync groups, we define which database syncs with which database, which tables are being synchronized, the direction of the synchronization, what happens in a conflict, etc., etc. Currently, it's on Sync Labs. It's not on release yet. And currently, on the version 1, what you can do is synchronize using that portal between databases in the cloud, which means you can synchronize SQL Azure databases between themselves, only in the SQL Azure arena.
How do they manage that without bringing the whole network to his knees? There's just so much that has to get squirted here and there.
To do that, there's a very nice technology called Microsoft Synchronization Framework, MSF.
They all start sounding the same. Is it my imagination, or they all start sounding the same after a while?
Anyway, so Microsoft Synchronization Framework is a very strong technology concerning sync. You can sync almost anything with Microsoft Synchronization Framework, and you are very you can just program against it. Again, it has a very simple API, and you can do your own things between anything. You can write code that will sync your on-prem database to Azure, if you'd like to. Version 2 of SQL Azure Data Sync does exactly that. So on version 2, you will be able, using the portal, to define how your on-prem database synchronizes with the cloud. And now you'll be able to support many scenarios where you have database in the cloud synchronized between each other and on-prem database synchronized between those databases. So you'll have a much larger group with great freedom to support many scenarios. As you can see here, this is a simple helper application that is provided by SQL Azure Data Sync to provision sync scopes and to allow you to sync data between your application, your data on-prem to the Azure SQL, but that is done programmatically, not via the portal.
There's a question here from the Peanut Gallery that says, but that means there's no traditional backups as we understand it from SQL Server Administration?
You don't need those.
You don't need them.
So you don't need those.
How bloody hallelujah.
You don't need them. You might even use the SQL Azure database as a backup.
Are you going to use the SQL Azure? Oh, is it, use it as a backup.
Oh, it's much cheaper.
Much cheaper. Good,
it's
good.
Much cheaper. So now what we will do is we will play a bit with SQL Azure, and we'll do that in the cloud. We'll do that using the portal. So I'll switch to my desktop, and we'll see what we can do. Well, I have here a very simple solution. And as you can see, I have three projects, each reading the author's table from the database. Now, I have two databases. One is here, located on the local server. Here it is, good old pubs. And the other is located in SQL Azure. Let's see it. We'll go to the portal. We'll go to databases. And here is pubs. So if I want to read the data from the local storage, I can use ADL.NET, I can use Entity Framework, I can use ADL.NET 2.0. Very simple. So let us see here this function. This function does simple, plain old ADO. I use a connection string and I read the data. Let's activate that. Let's run it. So here we are, debug. We start new instance. And here we read the local data. It is will clear. And now we read from SQL Azure. And we are here. The same data appears. How did we do that? Very simple. All we need to change is the connection. Is the connection string here when we create the SQL connection. And if we'll go to the configuration, we'll see here two different connection strings. One is the local connection string, and one is the remote connection string. This is a very simple connection string that we all know, and this is a connection string to go to SQL Azure. Now, we can see here in the connection string the name of the server and the name of the user at the name of the server again. That's it. All you have to do to read data from SQL Azure is just change the connection string. That's it. Now, to get access to the name of the server and the details I need, all I need to do is to go to the portal. Here it is, databases. Here is my server name, and here I can read it. And if I'll point here, you can see the fully qualified DNS name. This is the name that I might use if I want to connect to the database using SQL Management Studio 2008 R2. So we have seen that I can use the same software running Entity Framework, running ADL.NET 2.0, running normal ADL.NET. The only thing I have to change is the connection string. Here in Entity Framework, the connection string is a bit different. We know the connection strings in Entity Framework. So we have the model, etc. And again, here the data source is a bit different. This is the local data source, and this is the remote data source. Again, the name of the server, the name of the administrator, at the name of the server, and of course the password. Here it is. So that's it. The only thing you have to do to migrate an existing application that uses SQL Server, migrate it so it will read the data from SQL Azure, is simple configuration change. Simply change the configuration string, the connection string. Now, let us create a database on SQL Azure. So, we'll go to the portal again. And we have pubs here, so let us create pubs too. Well, we'll press here create, and we'll call it pubs 2. Here we are. And now I want to define the schema and insert the data to this new database that I just created. So how do I do that? Well, the same thing that I do in an on-prem database, I can do here. I go to manage, and I get a new window with the SQL Azure Management Database Manager. This is a new project, used to be called Houston, that provides me all I need for managing a simple Azure database. So let's log in. Here we are. Well, it's a very nice UI. Silverlight provides us with some data about the database. Well, there's nothing there yet. So it says that the database is empty. And as you can see, no tables, nothing in. And what I need to do now is to execute a certain query that will create the schema and insert data to this new database. How do I create that query? How do I create the script? Well, I do, again, the same skills. I use the same skills from on-premise database, from traditional database. I go to SQL Management Studio. I connect to my local database. Here is pubs. And now I create scripts. So tasks, generate scripts. And I go through the wizard, and I say, please create me the database. But here in the advanced, I'm saying, hey, I want you please to create the schema and the data. And please do not use the database. I say here false, and that's it. And now, I should press next, and the script would be created into the script.sql. Well, I've done that already, so I will press cancel here to save time. And I'll go here to my presentation, samples, SQL, and here I can see the script that I have created. Now, I want to use that script against the SQL database. If I will do so, I will find few errors, because there are things in T-SQL that are supported in SQL Server 2008 that are just not supported with SQL Azure. So something needs to convert the script that I just created using SQL Server 2008 to T-SQL that is supported in SQL Azure. Let's say if I'll open here the script and show the alter table. Alter table is simply not supported in SQL Server in SQL Azure. So I need something to direct me. What can I execute and what can I not execute. For that, there's a nice tool that I will run here. And I will take my T-SQL file. Let's just copy the path. Here it is. Okay, next. And as you can see here, some stuff, some commands, are just not supported. What I need to do is simply delete those. So this is what I will do. I will delete everything which is red. I keep deleting all the red. All the red lines. Practically, this is all the Ultra database, which is, again, as I said, not supported. And this comment is not relevant. And here we are. This is the script that I actually need. So I can save it. And let's call it pubs2.sql. I've done it already, so I don't need to do it again. I can just take pubs2. Here it is. I will open it, copy all of it. I will go here to the portal. I will ask to create a new query. Here it is, and execute. So things are executing now. I will ask to see messages. And as you can see, things are running. And now, if I do a refresh, I have my tables. And if I will do another new query, and I will try to select star from authors, so here the data is just there. So what we have seen here in the demo is it's very simple to use SQL Azure, because all you have to do in your data application is simply change a simple connection string. That's it. To create a database on SQL Azure, you just go to the portal. In here you have the management, SQL management, that allows you to run any query you'd like. And so you can manage the database in a very simple manner. And what we've seen the SQL Azure database, which is the Azure version of database, of SQL database. We've seen that it directs us to scale. It is a reliable, available, and scalable database that handles our data, and it directs us to scale, scale out. We have seen that it is possible to manage it very, very simply using the portal, and we have seen that it is possible to sync between databases, different database, different instances of the database using the SQL Data Sync technology. So with that, we will finish.
Yes.
Thank you very much, and we'll continue about diagnostics in 10 minutes.
Okay. Very good.